in the west corner of Saint Laurent, starting at 2 o'clock a.m. Covers only $18. Definitely a CKUT co-presentation. I'm telling you, at 5 o'clock, which means right about now, we're gonna be going into the streets, out into the cold. I said we're keeping it real, you know. They say they're keeping it real, and we're even keeping it more real because we're keeping it gully. You see what I'm saying? We're going around the sewer and the gully and all that. We're going out in the street. We don't ramp with it. Young, gifted, and black to all the youth around the world. Right now, we're going to take you to the live broadcast of the Homelessness Marathon. That was positive vibe for this week. Hope you enjoy it. You see what I'm saying? It's Black History Month and all. We're just telling everybody to fill in what need to get filling. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to really stress nothing right now still. If you want to know something, you go out and learn it. Each one teach one and all them thing. The when love sponge squeeze, you know, everybody get wet up. Because it's the next week. Read them up. A beer dance all. You know, right now, we're in the streets. Homelessness Marathon. We're out. Love.
The number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
You have technology and you have all of the stuff at your disposal. So you get up and get out there and make yourself accounted for. Ali Jazz Coley says so.
Yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. And you listening to K. Yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. And you listening to CKUT, and the place to be from the Bronx to T.O.P.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Until about 5:03, no, it's not positive vibe, extended version. I'm telling you, it's the second national radio homelessness marathon. All right, today, Thursday, February the 12th, starting right about now, running all night long until sunrise tomorrow, February 13th. It's for the homeless, all right, who are best to educate people on the issues of homelessness. So we're going into the streets. You see what I mean? From now till, I said before, sunrise, Friday, February 13th. It's all about live from the street. Okay, and this is right outside at Cafe Sur La Rue. All right, that's 1104 Ontario Street East. Okay, you can stop by for some free hot food and beverages. And feel free to call toll-free all night long. That's going to be 1-866-763-4136. 1-866-763-4136. You see what I mean?
rectify the problem of homelessness, because it's true, it is a national disgrace.
CKUT 90.3 FM and Le Groupe Communautaire L'Itinéraire present Canada's second national homelessness marathon. 14 hours of commercial-free bilingual radio, starting on Thursday, February 12th at 5 p.m., broadcasting overnight until Friday, February 13th, 7 a.m.
Stay up with us all night. While other Canadians are sleeping outside without shelter, we need to stay up and remember those folks.
It's the responsibility of everyone.
It's awfully quiet out here in the streets of Montreal. Welcome to this edition of the Canadian Homelessness Marathon. Thought we'd bring you a few seconds of the cold wind blowing on the streets here as it is well below zero. Well below. And we'll probably dive even deeper below as we go into the night. But also joining me on the mic at the moment is Nancy Roussy, who's from Le Groupe Communautaire L'Itinéraire, and Audrey Cote's here as well. And Jeremy Alderson is on the phone, the founder of the marathon, the homelessness marathon. Nobody, are
nobody.
You there? We can't hear him just yet, but we'll keep talking as if Jeremy's there. And want to welcome you all to this edition of Canada's second annual homelessness marathon. Nancy, did you want to say a few words about what's coming up in the first 2 hours of this marathon?
Of course. Well, hello everybody. Bonjour tout le monde. Bienvenue au deuxième marathon de l'itinérance, en fait. Deuxième marathon des sans-abri, pan-canadien. Et bienvenue aussi à tous ceux qui se présentent. N'oubliez pas que c'est quelque chose de français et anglais. Donc, it's bilingual, so bear with us so that everybody can actually understand what we're talking about. And we will talk a little bit about what's going on for the first 2 hours. I will be your host, Nancy Roussy, and I'm from L'Itinéraire. And we will have a quick introduction to the marathon. Following, we will actually be talking to Mr. Bill Cameron, who is the Director General of the National Secretariat of Homelessness. So
we do have one in Canada. Eh?
Yes, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask him, actually, because everybody was like, we actually have that. So that should be interesting. We'll also have a lot of people coming from different organizations, and we will be talking about homelessness and numbers. So we will be talking about who's on the street, how many people are on the street in Montreal here, and a bit everywhere in Canada, and also what are the problematics, and we'll be looking at different solutions also to see how people can actually make it better for people who are homeless and actually make them not homeless anymore. Alors, bonjour et bienvenue. Et nous allons commencer les deux premières heures. Premièrement, nous allons avoir une introduction du marathon avec Jérémy, qui s'appelle en fait Nobody, qui a été le fondateur du marathon de l'itinérance aux États-Unis il y a 7 ans. Donc, on va parler avec lui pour parler de pourquoi il a créé cette chose-là. Ensuite de ça, nous allons discuter avec les différents partenaires pour le marathon, pour leur demander pourquoi ils ont voulu donner tant de temps pour la cause. Par la suite, nous allons parler avec Monsieur Bill Cameron, qui est en fait le directeur général du secrétariat des sans-abri au Canada. Donc, nous avons un secrétariat des sans-abri au Canada et nous allons demander depuis quand, parce que plusieurs personnes étaient très surpris d'apprendre que nous avions ça. Par la suite, nous allons parler de l'itinérance en nombre. Donc, combien de personnes sont dans les rues à Montréal, combien de personnes survivent dans les rues de Montréal et aussi tous les problèmes... Mon Dieu, je parle comme dans une canne. Tous les problèmes du genre... comment nous allons pouvoir subvenir aux besoins des gens, mais surtout comment nous pourrions enlever les gens de la rue, comment nous pourrions réussir à faire en sorte qu'il n'y ait plus d'itinérance à Montréal, donc, et aussi partout au Canada. Donc, nous allons débuter la conversation à savoir, mais pourquoi faire cette chose absolument épouvantable pour tout le monde qui est dehors ici pendant 14 heures, ce merveilleux marathon des sans-abri. The first questions would be like, why are we going in this crazy adventure to have 14 nonstop hours talking about homelessness in the cold in Montreal?
Well, maybe Jeremy Alderson, who's joined us on the line, the founder of the U.S. Marathon, Nobody, is on the line with us, who can tell us about why anyone would want to do something like this for 7 years in a row. Nobody, are you there?
I sure am, Gretchen. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about this this experience that you've been engaging in for the last 7 years, hosting a marathon in the United States, one that's now expanded to Canada. Why?
Well, I hope I don't have to have a good reason. There are plenty of times I think I have to be crazy myself, but fact is there's a pressing need out there. People are homeless. I really want to stress that homelessness is not just about homeless people. It's a terrible thing for them, and it has to be addressed for their sake. But it's a little bit like when the canary in the mine dies. You don't just say, poor canary. You have to realize, I mean, something is wrong in the entire mine. And if we have homeless people on the streets, in the United States, certainly the richest country in the world, Canada is certainly a country that can afford to house its citizens, it's not only a tragedy for the homeless people, it's a sign of something very, very bad for all of us.
As it is here in Canada, very good reasons to provide a forum like this, so many that they just can't be named. One of the things that we've been telling the mainstream media about why it's so important to have a Canadian Homelessness Marathon is simply because homeless people do not have access to the media. When you look at the media, you would think Canada is a rich country. You would think we had no poverty, or if we did, it was just an instance that happened around July 1st here in Montreal. It's as if it doesn't exist year-round. So it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to take to the airwaves like this across the country and do a nationwide broadcast, because it really demonstrates that this is a social issue, that this is something that touches us from coast to coast, and that this is something that all of our communities should be talking about. How are we going to deal with this tomorrow? And I appreciate the opportunity to do this once again in coordination with you, Nobody. We're going to be linking up with you later tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning, eh?
And that's right, and we are very, very happy that you're doing this in Canada as well.
Well, I'm sure you're busy for your marathon there. What time do you guys kick off?
Well, we kick off at 7 p.m. Eastern here in the United States.
And you're broadcasting from Cincinnati this year?
From Cleveland, Ohio.
And what are some of the issues, local issues in Cleveland that you'll be highlighting?
Well, you know, here in Cleveland, as in many cities and states across the country, they're running a terrible deficit, which is, of course, parallel to the federal deficit. They're cutting back police. They're cutting back firefighters. They're cutting back safety inspectors on the building. And this is just something that reinforces what I said earlier. This is really systemic. It's not just about a few people are drunk or something on the street. Something goes wrong in a society when it can't house its poorest citizens. And here in Cleveland, we can really see it, because what's going wrong is going wrong now to middle-class people as well.
Jeremy, I'm not sure how much more time you have to spend with us, but we do have many more things coming up for us in this 2 hours as we introduce the problem of homelessness. Maybe you can just, before you go, give us a summary of the different ways in which the Homelessness Marathon in the States has approached redefining how people in the United States see and view homelessness. In which ways do you try to approach your marathon in order to challenge or perhaps even change the way people view homelessness?
Well, you know, I think that what I have learned over the years, when I started, I really thought, oh, I have to really change attitudes. But as I have been doing it more and more, I have realized the American people are very sympathetic. We don't get nasty calls. We have an open mic. I mean, we don't screen our calls. And, you know, once a show, maybe once a year, we get a call from somebody who's hostile to homeless people and blames them and so forth. But actually what we get mostly, a lot of calls from people who are on the edge of homelessness themselves or who have been homeless, which is more people than most Americans realize. And so we don't really see ourselves as trying to change attitudes so much as trying to put it in a new perspective. We really want people to understand the economic issues that are at the heart of homelessness, and to move away from just thinking of it in terms of mental illness or substance abuse, which are certainly components, but they're not the cause of homelessness.
And in what ways has the marathon been able to reach out and change the mind of policymakers?
Well, I have to say, I don't think we've done that. I think that we are trying to build a movement, and we have a long, long way to go. The first step is to build a national dialogue and a consensus about it, and to get people talking about it. And I do think we've had some success for that. You know, we are picking up more and more radio stations, and after the marathon, more and more stations continue to cover homeless issues. So I would like to believe, and I do believe, that the Homelessness Marathon is bringing this issue back into the light, back into the media spotlight. But we've got a long, long way to go, and I don't want to pretend that that we've made any big dent in it. We're just struggling, and we've got to struggle.
Thank you very much, Nobody, for joining us on this second edition of Canada's Homeless Marathon. Good luck with yours tonight.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
I'll talk to you later.
Oui, bonjour. Alors, c'était Nobody qui est l'instigateur du marathon aux États-Unis. Il parlait de la raison pour laquelle il a fait le marathon, qui est qu'on ne devrait même pas avoir à parler de cette population-là, parce que de toute façon, ça ne devrait même pas exister. Et il parlait aussi qu'il fallait créer un dialogue. Donc, nous devons être capables de créer un dialogue pour faire en sorte que toutes les circonstances qui font en sorte que les gens se ramassent dans la rue, mais sont en fait discutées. Et non seulement ça, nous devons aussi s'assurer que toutes les politiques font en sorte que les gens ne seront plus dans la rue. Et parlant de politique, justement, je crois que nous allons avoir en ligne très bientôt un représentant du secrétariat national des sans-abri. So, in a few seconds, we will have a representative, which is the Director General of the Secretariat, the National Secretariat of Homelessness. That's a big word. And his name is Mr. Bill Cameron, who is replacing Ms. Bradshaw, who sadly enough is in the middle of the air right now, flying to go somewhere. So I don't know if we have him online right now. Mr. Bill Cameron.
Bill Cameron, are you on the line? Not yet. Not yet.
So maybe I can translate a bit more about what Jeremy actually said. Alors, Jeremy, Nobody, a.k.a., parlait en fait du marathon en disant toutes les situation qui a fait en sorte qu'il a voulu commencer cet événement-là. Cet événement-là, en fait, est commencé seulement par une idée que lui, il voulait continuer un discours qu'il faisait toutes les semaines dans son émission où il parlait des personnes qui sont des personnes qui ont des difficultés et considérait qu'il fallait en parler plus longtemps, qu'une heure, c'était pas suffisant pendant une semaine. Donc, il a décidé de faire 14 heures. Et lui, ce qu'il fait en plus, c'est qu'il diffuse dans différentes villes des États-Unis à chaque année. Et cette année, il est... Gretchen, I think he's in Cleveland this year, was he? Alors, il était à Cleveland cette année. Il disait qu'il y avait énormément de problèmes à Cleveland, dont il y avait beaucoup de pauvreté, il y avait énormément de gens qui avaient des difficultés, il y avait énormément de gens qui n'avaient pas d'emploi, il y avait énormément de gens qui se ramassaient dans les rues et qu'il y avait beaucoup de politiques qui faisaient en sorte qu'il y avait de la discrimination envers les personnes de la rue. Donc, c'est une des raisons pour lesquelles il est allé à Cleveland. Il ne faut pas oublier aussi que être sans-abri, c'est beaucoup plus que seulement être une personne qui n'a pas d'abri. Il y a énormément de choses, de coercions qui font en sorte que les gens se ramassent sans-abri. Donc, Andy, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
We will be talking a little bit more with Andy, who is an ex-squatter of Overdale and Préfontaine. So he knows a little bit about being homeless and fighting for the right to have a house.
Well, presently, it's really hard to try and get our governments involved in trying to give us a fair shake as far as homelessness is concerned and low-cost housing is concerned, you know. And the cost of living keeps going up, but nobody's salaries are going up, and it's really difficult for people. Every day you're seeing the rent hikes, for instance, going up. That's putting a lot of people on the streets because they can't afford to pay rent. And it's a big issue, not only in Montreal, but I would say in different parts of our province right now, like Sorel, Tracy. There's a lot of people who are on welfare. There is no scale of economy in Sorel at this moment. And people are paying high rents, and they're not arriving on anything. And their welfare checks and their unemployment checks aren't going up, but the cost of living is going up. And this is what's causing a lot of problems.
Alors Andy, qui est un ex-squatteur de Overdale et de Préfontaine, dont vous connaissez ces deux très grands débats sociaux qui ont lieu il n'y a pas si longtemps, où finalement, les deux fois, ils sont faits, ça a été une éviction, ça a été terminé par une éviction. Et nous allons parler plus longuement, justement, pendant les différentes heures, de différents problèmes. Peut-être expliquer aussi que Andy, justement, mentionne très bien qu'avec l'augmentation du coût de la vie, avec l'augmentation du coût des loyers, mais que c'est pas seulement à Montréal, par exemple, que c'est à Sorel, où Andy est présentement, que c'est dans toutes les petites villes aussi. On se concentre souvent sur les métropoles, mais il faut pas oublier que c'est même à la campagne, c'est dans les réserves indiennes, c'est partout, en fait, qu'il y a énormément de problèmes où que ce soit un manque de logement, que ce soit un manque d'argent, que ce soit un manque d'emploi, que ce soit un manque de plein de choses comme ça font en sorte que les gens se ramassent à la rue. Et il ne faut pas oublier que, comme par exemple le squat Overdale ou Préfontaine, il y a des façons d'essayer de réveiller les gens aussi, de leur dire, écoutez, il y a un problème, il faut reprendre certaines bâtisses qui sont laissées au dépourvu, finalement. Il faut reprendre, en fait, tous ces endroits-là qui pourraient avoir des gens à l'intérieur, qui pourraient sauver des vies, qui pourraient réchauffer des gens. Présentement, on est dehors, donc on sait c'est quoi.
C'est ça, justement. Puis j'en ai un gros problème avec cette situation présentement.
That was good, huh? You never problem with
that. Donc, nous avons un petit... We seem to be getting an extra line or something that's going on. Yeah, just excuse us for a minute. We have a little bit of technical.
Go ahead. I'm so proud of what you're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Who's calling?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Minister Bradshaw.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for calling.
Look, thank you for so much for doing this.
We were told that we were going to get someone else, but not you.
I'll tell you, my dad was rushed to the hospital last night, so I'm on standby if I need to go home.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
No, I'm so proud of what you're doing. I want to make sure that I'm here.
Well, thank you. Well, everybody, this is the Honorable Claudette Bracha, who is Minister of Work and also Minister of the Secretariat for the Homeless. So, bonjour, nous avons finalement été capables de rejoindre l'honorable Madame Claudette Bracha, qui est ministre du Travail et aussi ministre responsable des personnes sans-abri. Donc, Madame Bracha, when I told people that I was contacting the Minister of the Secretariat on Homelessness, a lot of people did not even know that it existed. So can you tell us in what context Canada ended up having this Secretariat?
Sure. What happened was that a lot of members of Parliament would get up on Wednesday morning at our caucus meeting and speak about homelessness in their cities. And a lot of media got involved, and there were often articles on homelessness and how it was growing within our country. And one day the Prime Minister said, look, I'm hearing you. I'm going to appoint Bradshaw to look into the situation. And there had been many, many studies done in Toronto and downtown Eastside and Winnipeg. Many municipalities were so concerned that they had also done a lot of studies. So what I did is I decided that even though the studies had been done, that I would go and travel across the country for 6 weeks. So I left for 6 weeks and went and traveled across the country. During the day, I met with mayor and councils. And I said, in my mind, I said, if we want to work on homelessness, it must come from the grassroots. Mm-hmm. And they're already doing the work. The problem is the three level of governments are not there, and they don't have the money that they need to do the work that needs to be done. And so I met with mayor and councils, and in Canada we have the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the mayor and councils knew what was going on in each community. And so out of 23 mayors, 17 mayors said to me, we're into a crisis. We have a crisis in this country, and something needs to be done. And the three level of governments, mayor and council, the provincial government, and the government of Canada, must work with community organizations because this crisis is growing. And then I met with the community organizations, and they were saying, we have so many needs that we're unable to meet, but you've changed your program. And the government of Canada had not been there for community organization in about 15 years. So for the last 15 years, it was the churches, it was the volunteer sector, it was the community donors who was giving the money for these programs, but the need was just growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was getting worse. So listening to the community organization, listening to mayor and council, and then I would visit the shelters, I would visit with homelessness on the street, and then at night I would go out with the police. And I would go out with the vans that either serve meals, that bring the blankets. I would go out with the police to speak to the prostitute. I would go out with the police to drive around town. And I did that for 6 straight weeks. And then I came back and I gave the face of homelessness to my prime minister and to caucus. And I said, look, this is what's happening. They have the solution. They know what to do. We have so many Mother Teresas in these nonprofit organizations. What they don't have is the support of our government.
That's good.
And
can I?
They don't have the funding that they need from us.
Yeah.
So at that point, I received, since 1999, $1 billion to work with community organizations. And also, since that time, we have received $1 billion for affordable housing.
Yeah,
so that's how it started.
Yeah, can I just, I'm going to translate really fast what you've been saying just for the French listeners, if you don't mind.
No, not at
okay.
all.
Alors, je demandais à la ministre Bracha comment, en fait, ce secrétariat des sans-abri s'est créé. Donc, elle parlait qu'elle voyait vraiment qu'il y avait un problème et tout ça. Et finalement, le premier ministre lui a demandé, mais on va envoyer Mme Bradshaw pour aller un peu partout. Et donc, pendant 6 semaines, elle est allée dans différentes villes rencontrer des maires, les conseillers. Et elle a réalisé aussi qu'à l'intérieur même des groupes communautaires, il y avait vraiment une expertise qui était là, qui savait déjà eux quoi faire, mais que les 3 niveaux de gouvernement étaient souvent pas présents et aussi qu'il manquait énormément de financement et que c'était vraiment en crise. Donc, par la suite, ils ont évalué tout ça et lorsqu'ils sont revenus, ben ils ont parlé puis finalement ils ont été capables de débourser $1 milliard sur les différents programmes. Et Madame Bracha, justement, quand on parle de différents programmes, l'Initiative nationale pour les sans-abri a plusieurs programmes qui sont offerts à l'intérieur même de ces choses-là, comme par exemple on parle beaucoup de IPAC 1 et 2 par exemple. Est-ce que Madame Bracha est toujours là? Hi, hello.
Really?
Hello.
Yeah.
I was just mentioning to people that in that $1 billion, you also have the national initiative for the homeless, which has different branches, like IPAC, for example, where money was given to different community groups who were talking about different programs they wanted to do.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we did. Voudrais-tu que je fasse la section ici en français?
Oui, ce serait très bien, merci.
Pardon?
Oui, ce serait très bien. Ce serait apprécié.
Veux-tu que je le fasse en français ou en anglais?
En français, s'il vous plaît.
En français?
Oui.
Oui. Fait, lorsqu'on a reçu l'argent, une des choses qu'on savait pour sûr, c'est qu'au niveau des sans-abri, on voulait... premièrement, c'était qu'on allait travailler avec les 10 grandes villes. Moi, à un moment donné, j'ai dit, ça fait pas de sens qu'on travaille avec les 10 grandes villes lorsque les gens viennent des petites communautés. Mm-hmm. J'ai dit, pour que c'est qu'on ne travaillerait pas avec beaucoup plus de communautés? Parce que les personnes à Downtown Eastside, les personnes à Montréal, les personnes à Toronto viennent du Nouveau-Brunswick, viennent des petites communautés du Nord.
Oui.
Fait, on s'est mis dedans 61 communautés. Puis les petites communautés nous disaient, on veut que nos personnes restent chez nous. On veut plus voir nos personnes s'en aller dans les grandes villes. On veut les aider chez nous. Fait qu'est-ce qu'on a fait? C'est que moi, j'ai dit, OK, on va faire confiance aux organismes communautaires.
Mm-hmm.
Et c'est pas nous autres qui va créer le programme. C'est pas nous autres qui va dire, si tu fais ça, tu peux avoir l'argent. Si tu fais ça, tu peux avoir l'argent.
Mm-hmm.
Ça fait d'adieu aux communautés. Venez ensemble, comme communauté, et faites-vous un plat de travail.
Mm-hmm.
Fait, dans nos 61 communautés, les groupes qui travaillaient avec les sans-abri se sont mis ensemble et s'en fait un plat de travail. Une fois que le plan de travail était fait, il l'a envoyé à Ottawa et nous autres, on acceptait le plan de travail. Une fois que le plan de travail est accepté, disons, je vais donner un exemple. Vancouver, il y avait 45 différents groupes qui travaillaient avec des sans-abri. Ben, c'était une des premières fois que ces groupes-là se mettaient ensemble. Parce que les groupes, ils se mettent
pas souvent ensemble. Ils sont mis ensemble, ils ont fait le plan de travail pour Vancouver. Une fois que le plan de travail a été accepté par, le, par, par nous autres, par notre département, la phase 1 leur a donné 25 millions $440. Et